September 23, 2020. It's the Watford Pedro Show. Watch for Pedro show. Happy Wednesday. Happy first day of fall. Happy birthday, John Coltrane. Always special day for me. There's a non-monetized version of Equinox, in fact, up on YouTube.com that does an hour loop. Ain't as good as 8 hours on a creaky pirate ship shit for getting some good conk, but close. Still quite in quarantino mode. Your brother Matt at the Love Grotto, a couple miles south here on the Pleasure Point. But I'm not man alone completely in my pad here in Pedro, because those wonders of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention. I got Zach with me from Philly. Zach, welcome aboard.
Oh, good to be here.
Yeah. I should tell the people what we started off with. It was Giant Steps, the new 2020 remastered version. So please don't use this song to cut other musicians. I can't believe this shit. This is the song people use to get all bully. What's that word? Beat up, like, you're lame. You ain't as good as me because I can play this faster than you. And just look at a picture of him and look at his eyes. Does he want to do that with his tunes? No. It's to bring you in, not like force you out. It ain't fucking sports. It ain't rugby, people. Or football, or whatever the fuck. It's music, which is a fucking thing. Well, first off, it's a form of expression, but so many ways it can be a collab and bring people together. So, Giant Steps. Tommy Flanagan, right? John Coltrane, the story is John Coltrane just hands him a paper with, here's just some chords. Solo over this thing. He said many years till he thought he got it right on a recording, but still, this is, you know. The sitch come right, life deals you a hand and you got to play it. So, and especially somebody like Zach, you know, who's from a world of improv and free music, the moment is everything, right? So I think John Coltrane just saying that and not freaking him out and just trying to make him relaxed about it, just some chords, was to get him ready for the moment, because I think he wanted to spring it on him, maybe. I don't know, I wasn't there. And then we had Durian Brow, which we heard a couple of tunes last episode, people, when had Ben Bennett, also Philly Meister, and also co-conspirator of Zach here. And it is good. The Durian Brow, not Brown. But this is the gateway moniker to get in on the singer-songwriting angle at the open mic night. Is that correct, Zach?
Yeah, that's true. We were playing once a week, every Wednesday, and then I figured, why don't we take it out of the house?
Yeah.
And we went and signed up, and 10 minutes in, they asked, when is this song over?
There's always a critic. Look, Zach, please, I want to go through your journey through music. So your earliest musical recollection, please.
I would have to say, it'd probably be driving out to the mall with my grandmother, and she had a Beach Boys tape, and I remember that really flipping me out.
So you're listening to it in a car?
Yeah.
And is this in Philly?
No, this is Mount Carmel, Pennsylvania, coal region.
Okay, so still a fur piece from California.
Oh, yeah.
But in a way, well, why did it freak you out? Let me ask you that.
Oh, I think it just brought me a lot of joy.
Oh, it was a good freak out.
Good freak out.
Okay, yeah, good freak outs are the best freak outs.
And there's that part on Don't Worry Baby, there's a little guitar skronk that comes in there. Just two notes, just like chank, chank. And it set me on fire. Love it.
Could have been Nels Klein, but probably wasn't. Probably Tommy Tedesco and those, you know, Carol Kay, Hal Blaine. Right, where they were kind of the band for those records, those first ones.
Yeah.
And Beach Boys, by the way, Hawthorne, which is not on the beach. It ain't too far, but it ain't on the beach. And you know the story about the father, right, Murray? What an asshole.
Vaguely.
Yeah, he was an asshole. You don't need to know about it. I just one there's this one take outtake of the studio where I guess he's hollering, he's all baracho and shit, and he's hollering over the headphones, and Dennis, no, it's Brian, he says, whoa, Battleship, like his voice, right? So Okay, so the pad you grew up there in Mount Carmel, was there any instruments?
Not a one.
Okay, so your folks, the people on the pad, were mostly listeners.
I wouldn't even say that, no.
Wow.
Not much music.
It was a quiet house.
Pretty quiet. My dad, at a certain point, would take a hymn book and sing some old, some hymns. Just on his own.
Yeah, but the voice is an instrument, so I guess, yeah, I'm an idiot. I'm sorry.
It was wild to hear, because he's certainly not a good singer. I think he just felt that he should do this all of a sudden.
He was expressing himself.
Yeah.
Okay. What about at school?
School?
Like the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
Didn't get into much of that. I was homeschooled after eighth grade.
Okay. Well, let me ask you, the first record you bought with your own money?
I believe that was Nirvana, Bleach.
Okay.
The first tape I actually got my hands on was way before that. It was Appetite for Destruction.
Okay. Well, I ask about with your own money because, you know, when you're young, you ain't got a lot of money, so it might be something you really wanted.
I had that paper route going on, so.
Yeah, smart man. Industrious young man. So, what about first gig? Was there gigs out in Mount Carmel?
No, not at all. Okay. We had to go a little outside of town for that in Bloomsburg.
So, what was your first Bloomsburg gig?
It was at a coffee shop called Phillips Emporium, and we played that with a band that we met on GarageBand.
Oh, you mean your first gig that you saw was one you actually played?
Oh, the first one I saw, that would be, it was at the same place. It was a pop-punk band called the Special Olympians.
That's a kind of wave.
Yeah, they did an Eddie Money cover. Two tickets to Paradise, but they changed it to Two Ticks and a Parasite.
Ah, kind of comedy rock.
Yeah, so kind that of weird, was all right.
Kind of a weird Al Yankovic angle.
It was a pretty weird scene.
Yeah. So, but, okay, getting to my next question, though, about this, homeschool, so you're at home. So some buddies for a garage band, a basement bedroom band?
I used to hang out in the woods nearby my house, and one day I heard somebody pounding on drums. So I went up on the porch and tried to get in there, and they wouldn't let me in.
Uh-oh.
Not until I came back maybe a week or two later with a bag of beer. And then at that point, I sat on the couch and watched these guys play.
Yeah, I was going to ask, who was they? Because you heard some drumming, but there was other shit too, like bass, drum?
Yeah, they were trying to get a band together. They were auditioning a bass player, and so I ended up playing bass.
Oh,
first.
Wow. Okay, yeah. What kind of bass do you have there, Zach?
Oh, these were the Ibanez days.
Okay. And what about amp? You know, I'm a little prejudiced towards this instrument.
That I can't recall. Neither the bass nor the amp would have been mine at that point.
Okay, you just borrowed. And, yeah. Shit, well, you didn't do lessons, right? You learned by doing?
I did take about 3 or 4 lessons.
So there was a bass teacher out there?
Not a bass teacher. I went for guitar. About a month or two later, I bought my first electric guitar.
Okay. And what was that like? What was it like learning from a teacher?
Oh, I didn't really like it, and I felt pretty bad. I thought I was wasting my parents' money.
Oh,
she'd take me down there like a 35-minute drive, and this guy would spend most of the time screaming on the phone at his kids.
So
he also had this slop bowl he'd be eating. Some, you know, this big bowl of random food. One day he got up to take a piss or something, and I peered into the bowl and was frightened by what I saw.
Yeah, ooh.
It was like a closet. We were...
Oops. Your spiel made me puke a little bit. So was it the deal like your mom, I'll get you this guitar if you take lessons?
I bought the guitar with the paper
out. Paper out. Oh, so you were doing this thinking it would help you out with the guys that were jamming.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So it didn't last long, right?
No, not too long.
But did you go end up playing a long time with these dudes or a little while?
Maybe a year, 2 years.
Did you do any gigs?
Maybe three.
What was the first one like?
The first one was back at Phillips Emporium. We shared the gig. It was pretty special. We shared a gig with this band that we met online on GarageBand. And they drove all the way up from near St. Louis to just come play this gig with us.
Jesus, from Missouri.
Yeah, wild.
Yeah. Well, that's the power of music. You know, I want to play Stevie's Crankin' by the
Nose. Oh, yeah.
By the Nose. Thank you.
I am ocean and you are sea, and the difference may tangle me, or maybe it will come to be, but the time will bring some levity. I am river and you are rain, a release within some new refrain, or a bond amidst persistent strain. Oh, water, water, come again. Quiet of Nevada night, while the engine cools and the monster sleeps, with a mountain for my company. Oh, maybe it will bury me. I am frost and you are heat, and the morning brings its gift to thee. So do with it just as you please, but bring yourself right back to me.
Pivo Show. Yeah, Stevie's cranking by the nose. Then Aunt Sally with Aunt Sally. Model Home, collaborating with His Name Is Alive, chord dub. Part three of La Casa de Volcan, Corral, brand new. Will Johnson, out of Austin, great cat. Ocean Sea. Character developer from his buddy Thor Harris, Rob Halverson. Also Austin. L1011, brand new out of SoCal here. Just made a triple album, people. Let's All Go Out Like Francis. And finally, The Nose with Fever in it. No, Fever and Frit. Sorry about that. Okay, Zach, so did this band have a name that you did the gig with the St. Louis band?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was... These were some goth guys, okay. So they were going for that, and the band was called Darkest Gray. Doesn't get any more.
Right, because the Spinal Tap album, right? None More Black. something like that. Smell the Glove. So I take it you weren't really into like genre music, right? You just wanted to play.
Yeah, I really just wanted to play, and it didn't take long for me to meet a few people who really took me places.
And, you know, I think it's hard when you're younger. You think music's all about genre because it's beat into it so hard. But then you get free of that, right?
Yeah, I think I did, or eventually.
Well, how? Let me ask Al.
How did I get free of that?
Yeah, well, what events happened?
Following leads. I mean, I got out of that band thanks to another guy who I met through that St. Louis connection. Turned out I met him on a message board, and he said, are you from the Mount Carmel? I think you are. He's like, I've got an aunt that lives in the town next to that, and I'm coming up for the summer. So he came up, this is a guy my age, about 14, 15 at this point, and he just had a huge CD booklet full of wild shit that I'd never imagined. And that kind of just tore me loose there.
Yeah, you know, we had a thing called the mixed cassette tape, right? We passed them around each other.
Mm.
And maybe kind of the same thing. Shit you never knew. What's the old saying? The only thing new is you finding out about it.
I like that.
Yeah, it's on a, there was a band in the city called Black Humor, early 80s, and that's one of the lines. Well, what's this cat's name?
This is Chris Stanton, his name is, and he's we're still in touch. He's got a bunch of projects.
So what was the result of you hearing all this?
Well, I quit the band.
Right. Then then what?
Then I realized he had a demo of a pretty wild band, a cassette tape, from a band that was just about an hour north. And I thought, this is wild music. I got to find a way to get up there. That was a big turning point there. So that led me up to Wilkes-Barre, PA. And there was a venue called Cafe Metropolis where there were maybe like three or four gigs a week. it was pretty happening compared to the coal town I was from.
And what was the band?
The band of the demo tape?
Yeah.
I think that was an Albatross, they were called.
Okay. And did you get to meet them?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But that was a great place. There were three or four gigs a week, and I think it seemed that everyone went to every gig, whether they were into the music or not.
And you would
met a lot of people that way.
And you would drive an hour each way.
I'd get a ride, usually. I'd find somebody that would take some gas money and go up there for the night.
Oh, okay. So you were bit by the music bug. So what?
Yeah.
You finally got to play this place, right?
Yeah, eventually, yeah.
Well, tell me the first time.
That would have been with Dirt Vultures.
Okay.
And I think the first time was just me, my buddy Sam Valenti, and a drum machine.
Whoa. How'd that turn out?
Pretty good. The Dirt Vultures were an established band, but one of the guys moved out to Albuquerque. Sam wanted to keep it going. And the direction of the music really changed a lot. We were doing some weird shit. And once in a while, finding somebody to hop on with us.
But it was the drum machine this night.
Yeah.
And so I take it was all original material.
Yeah, for sure.
So you had started to write songs.
Yeah, Sam and I started playing a lot of music, recording. The gigs were hard to come by. Soon after that, Metropolis closed.
Oh, fuck.
And so to get a gig was kind of tough. We'd play at a record store in Scranton, but Sam and I got on this kick of putting out a CD every gig we played.
You'd record it before?
Yeah, we'd pack it, the whole 80 minutes.
Wow. Can you remember the first song you wrote?
Vaguely.
What was it called?
I think it was called Luke Fiddler.
Luke Fiddler. Okay, it was probably instrumental, right?
No, this was back with that first band.
Oh, with the goth guys.
Yeah.
Kind of a goth name, the Fiddler. Luke Fiddler. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, September 23, 2020, Dish Wap Peter Show. Special guest, Zach. Hold tight for hour two. September 23, 2020, it's the second hour of the Wap for Peter Show. Thank you.
Just listen closely from across the
the meadow.
Good as money if there's no place to spend it.
All right.
guitar. In the back, Hungry Isaac Hidden on bass. We'd like to thank you for being such a wonderful audience, and we bid you a fine good night.
Hope you like slam poetry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Slam Bates. Slam Stewart.
Thank you.
Watch for Peter Show. Start off the second hour with the nose. Do a nose guard. When does the nose, like we played three tunes from this proj.
Mm.
Give us a little background, please.
The nose is a duo. Myself and Matt Tomlinson. He's a bass player in the Lehigh Valley. I think I first heard of him through Jack Wright, who had played a gig, just him and Matt. And I checked it out. There's a video. I heard a recording of it, and just couldn't wait to play. So we hooked up, and it's been a few years now that we've been playing.
Wow. So very interesting music, an interesting collab. So it was through Jack Wright. You know, he flowed me his book, The Free Musics.
And it's you got a hold of that.
Well, from him, the man himself. Actually, Thurston knew all about him. He was telling me, yeah, and the man who wrote the, Mr. Davies, who wrote the intro, too.
Yeah, Davy Williams.
Remember, there's always, Davy Williams. There's, the only thing new is what? Finding out about it. Anyway, after that, we had Sam Bennett from Tokyo doing Chain and Shadow, originally from Birmingham, St. Rostown. Guy by Voices after that, Dayton, Tiny Eights. Lunatics on Parole, GOPPOV Environment. Bombus Prendon. This was a band from D.C. in the early 80s that never did a gig. They just recorded. Integers. And finally, in Western Mass, home of Byron Coley. And something called Roughhausen?
Yeah, that's the trio with Evan Lipson and Jack.
Okay, we got to give Evan Lipson credit because he made the big connect here.
He's the best.
Yeah, Zach's on the show. In fact, you guys did something together. Christmas kind of trip, right?
You mean the tour?
Well,
the tour we did?
I thought it was a record or maybe there's been a couple. Anyway, I asked him. He said maybe this Christmas you guys would get something for me. I know there's also some kind of baseball proj he turned me on to.
Hmm.
So, but we got to just give him credit for this. So, how did Roughhausen come together?
I think maybe that came from Jack wanting to book another tour, maybe with Rest, which was Jack, Evan, and Ben. Maybe Ben couldn't do it, and I jumped in there. So that recording, the Western Mass recording,
that's
maybe our third gig together, right out of the gate. And I listened back to that the other day, scooping these tracks together, and I was floored by it.
Yeah, I dig it too, man. I think it's really happening. And in a way, it's the only way you can get something like that. I mean, well, does Roughhausen practice?
No, we never get to practice.
Yeah, like Perkins with Banyan, it's the gig.
Yeah, and we've been doing it for maybe 5 or 6 years, and I'd say maybe 2 or 3 times we've played outside of a gig.
Okay. What about this Zach Jack? I want to play Roanoke.
That's the recording from Jack and I's first duo tour. Towards the end of it, in a nice big room.
We're talking nice. Jack Wright.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Looking out my window, from where I sit, I can see the desert wind blow. The ground is lightly covered in fresh April snow. Right now, there's nowhere to go. And that's all right with me. I'm
Show Roanoke, Zach Jack. I didn't know because you spelled Zach and Jack, yeah, the other way without the CH with the K's. Okay, I'm learning.
Yeah, we switch it for that.
That's good. That's good. The Hawk after that from Iowa City with The Hills Have Eyes. Two Backs out of Italy with the Chicagoan Part One. Tom. Brand new album from him, my first quarantine song. PNDC and Housework out of Belgrade with Sunset Over Empty Towns. And then Amp Practice from Yon Cannon. What's Yon Cannon?
That's just what I call the solo scraps I throw around.
So this is Zach Manalone.
Yeah.
Like something like that, what, you just turn the recorder on and let the freak flag fly?
That, yeah, I think that's what that was. I was messing around with a few amps, and that's the amp I usually use with a microphone on it going into another amp. And there's just some howling feedback I was working with there.
So you got a microphone input for one amp that's actually the source is your guitar going through another amp.
Yeah.
Okay. And what kind of amps? Just curious a little bit. Does it matter?
I'm using on that. That's a twin reverb.
They can get.
But the main amp on that is a Fender Super Champ. Okay. It's a Super Deluxe, I believe.
So you got the Fender thing. The Beach Boys still the surf. Got the surf thing going.
Yeah, still playing those two notes.
Yeah, Skrunk. So, I had Ben Bennett on, and we were talking about this idea of composition and improvisation. And in saying that distinction really doesn't mean that much. And I was inclined to agree with him.
Yeah, I feel about the same. Sometimes I hear improv being called instant composition.
And
that makes sense.
What about the idea of intervals?
Intervals and within the piece?
Well, it seems like... Yeah, I should explain myself better. Sorry, Zach. No, the way the notes are spaced out harmonically, because it seems like a quote, although I said I hated this word genre, little sticks, little cliches build up, like, for example, a blues box, okay, or Lower East Side, you know, 90s John Zorn type of, right, who's the guitar man? Sharp, Elliot Sharp, great guy.
Yeah.
And which kind of, you know, is his signature, but kind of became the dog whistle for that, you know, quote. I remember Sam Bennett telling me, because he was part of that in those days before he went to Japan. He said, no blue notes. Or maybe it was Han Bennett who told me that, this Dutch drummer man.
Oh, he's great.
Isn't he great? He's one of our granddaddies in this kind of field, right? I got to play with him once 12 years ago. He was incredible. Man, talk about working the room. He literally works the room.
That's for sure. I've never been able to see him play.
Wow, it's an experience. And then if you're part of it with him, it's totally in the moment, but it's totally a journey. Desert, mountains, bayou, the ocean, lakes, creeks. I mean, this guy, but I remember him saying this, no blue notes, right? So you don't want any flat thirds. So that's why I asked about the interval thing. I mean,
I'm more of a no looper guy.
Right, right. Oh, like layers. Yeah, I hear that.
Yeah.
So
I try to keep it moving, switching. I like to use all the knobs.
What about pedals? You must use the looper ones, right?
No, I just use usually no pedals.
So a tape machine or a...
The past few years, I've just been playing that Fender amp and a small 10-inch speaker, and I have that hooked together with a radial ABY switcher.
Okay.
And I can, change the settings on the two amps kind of manually as I'm playing, and then change the tone knobs, switch the pickups. That's...
Okay, so the looping is actually the oscillation between the amps feeding back and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I was saying I'm a, rather than a no blue note, I'm a, no looper is the only thing I stand against.
Okay, no looper. Okay.
Yeah, no looper.
Anti-looper. So you're into the idea, yeah, okay. Loopers is like, in a way, repetitions of tiny performances. And I was talking a little bit with Ben about this, Ben Bennett, because drummers basically, unless they break out of that where every, they're trying to randomize every little rhythmic little trip they go through.
Right.
But his playing, he totally takes a pulse on the moment. I can see it's not just, hey, I meet you at the finish line. It's a total conscious thing. So when you're collaborating, I mean, I'm not talking so much Jan Cannon, that's Man Alone, right? But when you're collaborating, you're still trying to co-pilot that thing with the cat you're with, right?
Yeah, for sure. We're just going for it.
We're at the end of the second hour, September 23rd, 2020, Dishwap Pedro Show. With a special guest, Zach. Hold on tight for hour three. September 23rd, 2020. It's the third hour of the Watch for Pedro Show.
I'm Is it really so real? Would I ever break out from a complex of dreams that allows you to be? Can you ever be free? When an issue is out, when it ever makes sense, when I finally can see
you're right in the
thank you.
Thank you.
spot for Pedro. Shall we start off the third hour with Spang from Never? What's the Never Proj?
Never's me, Ben, and Jack.
Okay, okay. So people, Ben Bennett, who was on the last episode, Jack Wright, who's going to be on Monday's episode. And Jack is much older than you and Ben.
Yeah.
So what's that like?
Well, I usually don't consider that much.
That's so great, you know, because in the old days, that was a big fucking deal. It was a big deal, right? Rock and roll is young people. And there was this kind of like a little bit of bigotry.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep up with Jack.
Wow, okay. So, yeah, he's kind of sensei, huh? We had Crane after that with Utopia's Dream. The next year with Is It Really So Real? I think Jim Mills plays everything on that, but he told me he's going to make a real extra band next record. Punk is a Doornail with Stereo. Ganji Island with White Squirrel. Thum, Eat to Taste. What a title. Hey Maya. No, Hi Maya. This is an old Cleveland band. Reverse Rationalization. And finally, 12D by Slack. Slack. Another one of your projects.
Yeah.
What can you lighten us?
Slack is a more recent group, maybe the winter of 2018. I think the first time we really got together to play and do some recording was Christmas Day.
And who's in the band?
That's me on guitar, Lance Unguent Refulgent Sepulcher Simmons. He's an incredible synth electronics musician. He's playing drums in this band. And Zane from Maine Konevsky on electronics and tape machines and feedback.
How'd you guys get together?
Lance, I've been seeing around at gigs for years. He was booking shows at a place called The Vat, RIP, a great spot in Philly. He would sort of be someone around egging me on at gigs, trying to get me fired up, really giving me like a little push here and there, playing a gig and got this guy in my face.
Like cheerleader?
Yeah, but just really... Great energy.
Yeah. I know about that, man. There's nothing like that. That's one of the greatest gifts you can give to somebody.
And then Zane, we started playing, the two of us, and then Lance caught that and said, I want to be your drummer. So that got started up.
Now, does this band pray?
Yeah, we do when we can. Right now... We're a little split up. We're not. Zane moved up to Maine for a bit, so.
Okay.
But Lance and I now record, and then we send the tracks to Zane, and he puts his part in there.
Like this one I'm gonna play next, Crystal Spirit. I guess it's an excerpt.
Yeah, that's the first chunk out of a cassette release.
Okay, here we go. Thank you. Watch for Pedro Show Last Music for this edition. Slack with an excerpt, Crystal Spirit. Cassette release, like Zach was telling us. Zach from Slack. Okay. Then Galextasy, Heaven Channel, Season 2, LP 2, Part 2. This is Raquel and Jared out in the Joshua Tree during this Quentin Quarantino mode. 18 albums, people. So no sitting on your hands. Everybody get out there, record. Finally, Slack with Fractal Discharge, which is an interesting image in my mind.
Mine as well.
Yeah, I remember being a teenager and calling up Ralph on the big white telephone. So... Is this kind of the current project you're mainly involved with right now?
Yeah, I would say that's one I'd really like to keep putting work into.
But there's always the reservoir of yarn cannon, right? Whatever.
Yeah, and I'm getting a lot done on that end too. Got a new guitar, and I feel like I'm starting all over.
Wow, you think it makes a difference? Well, what was the old one? Which was the one it replaced?
For 12 years, I've been playing pretty much nothing but an Epiphone Dot. Semi-hollow body.
Okay.
Really putting a beating on it. But I wanted something a little lighter. Want to stand, want to move around more. So I got this 72 Japanese... Mustang copy.
Now Stang's, oh, it's a copy. Yeah, because Stang's had two necks. They had a short neck and a long neck.
This is a little shorter, for sure.
Okay. And they are, little and light. And also probably different properties because it ain't a semi-hollow.
Yeah, it feels completely different.
Mm-hmm.
I can really bend a lot and move around much easier than the old busted up guitar.
Yeah. And you're talking about standing versus sitting.
Yeah, sometimes I'm sitting to play.
You ever do the tabletop thing? What was that band, AMM? One in London.
Oh yeah, Keith Rowe. No, I never really got into that, but I do the guitar does hit my lap quite a bit.
Okay. Yeah, I think he never put it on. Sitting there. Yeah.
Well, you ought to try it out.
But you know, reading... there's a lot of shit I should try. Reading the Sid Barrett book by Rob Chapman had big influence on that Piper at the Gates of Dawn, which I didn't know until I read the book. You know, I think there was a period for that, you know, where rock and roll... coming out of the R&B, but then informed by some pretty wild stuff before, like, arena rock pushed it back into its safe, collared, you know, Nuremberg rally mode, which is, I'm so glad people like you and Jack and Ben and Evan are trying to bust this stuff up and are, you know, going way back with me, Nels Klein, you know. In New York City now, he's got much more... He tried to bring it to SoCal for so long with his brother Alex, and people just would not support it. What do you think of that?
I can see that. Sometimes you gotta switch it up. If the scene's not... I don't know. That's unfortunate.
And, but that's a good overall blanket statement. It is unfortunate, but your suggestion to do about it is to switch it up?
Well, maybe not switch it up, but maybe it's best to just keep it up.
Yeah, keep it up. And, because like you said, that Metropolis pad, what led to it closing?
Some phony downtown revitalization project and a massive movie theater being put in right next to the parking lot.
So it wasn't lack of support.
Really was not, no.
Oh, wow. Okay, that truly is a tragedy. Well, where can people find you on the internet?
I got a SoundCloud page. And I think there might be some info on Jack's website, but the SoundCloud is soundcloud.com/YANKANIN.
Okay. And I'm really interested in your work. So what's the next thing planned?
The next thing planned is to just get better recordings for the Slack project. We're now moved out of my room up here on the third floor and into the basement where we're able to get a little better separation, get the drum mics with a little less guitar screaming through them.
Bleed, I think they call it.
So slowly but surely we're chipping away.
When you get this next album done, will you guys come on the show? You can bring them cats on too and talk about it.
Absolutely. That'd be a great time.
Zach, thanks so much for being on the show. Keep on keeping on, please.
People, nice to be in the orbit. Thanks for having me.
Okay. People, September 23, 2020, this is Wap Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.